Hello, and welcome back into the By Faith podcast. This is week 5, and this week I've got Mike with me.
How's it going, everybody? Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, and if you don't know me, my name is Landon, and we are going to be hopping into the story of Joseph this week, specifically Genesis 39. But before we jump into that, Mike, catch us up on where we've been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so we have just been kind of working our way through Genesis, which I think is pretty cool, and we got to look at Sarah and the birth of, or the start of the promise of birth of Isaac, and then we got to continue that story, and last week we looked at God calling Abraham to actually sacrifice his promised son, Isaac, and Abraham being faithful to doing it. And at the last second, as it says, as Abraham was raising his hand with the knife in his hand, the blade with his knife in his hand, that the Lord provided a ram in place of his son, Isaac.
Yeah, really I don't know. I think one of my biggest takeaways so far is just like how wild the Old Testament is.
Yeah.
Like we've already hit like murder and like someone almost killing their son. And like the laughter piece of like Sarah was a nice little just like casual story to slip in. But it's just like a roller coaster ride.
Yeah. We were talking about just when you actually think about the stories instead of just, oh yeah, these are the stories I've heard my whole life.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Like when you stop and think, these stories are wild and cool to wrestle with. They're not always easy, but they're good to wrestle with.
Yeah. So one of the, I think the pitfalls maybe of like jumping from Old Testament story to Old Testament stories, we don't kind of get the full picture of like what's happened in between.
Yeah.
So if you could even give a quick, like from the point that, you know, Abraham almost sacrifices his son, Isaac, Isaac lives on. How do we get from Isaac to Joseph?
So Isaac ends up living and he has a son named Jacob. And then Joseph is one of the 12 sons of Jacob.
So where does Joseph fall in like the 12 siblings is a lot. I don't know how many siblings you have, but 12 seems like it would be wild. Where does he fall in the pecking order?
So Joseph is actually the youngest of the 12 sons. And little people know that they actually do have a daughter. Oh. So he does actually, it's 13, but 12 sons.
Yeah, Genesis seems to skew towards talking about the men a little bit more, but that's a whole separate conversation. Well, cool. So how do we get from, tell us a little bit about Joseph, maybe set up how we get to Genesis 39.
Yeah. So it's even interesting. We're talking about Genesis, like sometimes it's hard to just even pick these like people and focus on a particular part of their story, but it's like the story of Joseph is actually Genesis 39 to Genesis 5, Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. But we had to hone in on kind of one chapter for the week. But I think it's even just to remember as we're thinking through this, that this is like a whole story, even in the midst of Joseph, and we're just looking at one chapter. So Genesis 37 starts with Joseph having dreams of his father and his brothers all bowing down to him and saying, you know, I will one day you will bow down to me. And he actually goes and tells his brothers the dream that I had a dream that you all will bow down to me.
That was super popular, right? They loved that.
Yeah, you would think. No, they ended up starting to like actually hate him. And it talks about just like this hatred that started building up. And then he had another dream that they were going to bow down to him. And he went and he told him again. And
really learn his lesson, did he?
No, he did not. And so after this, we run into later in the story. So it's like, okay, Joseph is telling these dreams about his brothers bowing down to him and, you know, the anger building up. And so they actually end up seeing him and they like kind of plan that, okay, we need, like some of his brothers are talking about even like, let's kill him to get rid of him. But he has one brother who kind of stops all of that and says, no, we don't need to kill him. We don't want our brother's blood on our hand. But let's throw him into the cistern and just leave him. And so as they're doing that, there's actually like slave traders that are coming by and they say, let's just sell him into slavery. And so what they do is they just take him, they sell him into slavery, send him on his way to Egypt. And then they take the cloak, his famous rainbow cloak that his father gave him, and they rip it up and cover it in blood and come back to their father and say, you know, Joseph was killed by a wild animal out in the field. But in reality, they just sold him into slavery.
Again, like just crazy stuff. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like at face value, that's wild. But she's like, I hear that and I'm like, well, that's Genesis for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And if there's like one word to summarize, like Joseph's story up to this point, it's just like tough. Like nothing has gone right.
And yeah,
I think as we'll see this week, things continue to get more and more problematic. Before we jump into Genesis 39, I want to hit on something you said about like, you know, there's a pretty big chunk of scripture dedicated to the story of Joseph. I think you said 37 to 50 of Genesis. And I think that, even maybe you could say like, you are not capped by like what we decide to dive into.
Yeah.
Like you can take the time, you know, over the course of, you know, a couple of days. I mean, you could read it all in one sitting, but you can space it out too of like, just read the whole story of Joseph. I think that kind of informs, even the whole context. So you're not limited to reading only the scripture that we read, in group.
Yeah, it is really cool. And so if you look at Genesis 37 to 50, you know, the story of Joseph starts in 37. And then in 38, there seems to be this random interjection of the story of Judah and Tamar, which is just this weird story of one of Joseph's brothers, Judah, ends up leaving, and his sons and one of his sons ends up marrying this woman, Tamar. And a lot of weird stuff happens, and you guys should go and look into it. But like Judah ends up sleeping with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. And it's just this crazy story of you're just like, what is happening and why is this in here? But I heard it said one time that these stories were written right next to each other, 38 and 39, to kind of like reflect each other and kind of like give guidance into one and the other. It's just a kind of a heads up for our story. It's the story of Joseph like fleeing from sexual temptation and him being able to reject it. I mean, it's almost this like parallel, and then showing Judah like failing in the midst of sexual temptation. But the crazy part is that if you look at the bloodline of Jesus, that like he actually comes back to Judah and he doesn't come back to Joseph. And you would think, okay, the savior would come from the holy, you know, the perfect one, the one who rejected sexual temptation, you know, that God would want to send the savior through the line of Joseph. But that God actually sends Jesus through the line of Judah, which is just a little tidbit. What I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love like the, even that like story of redemption and that like, you know, Judah's line wasn't eliminated by his brokenness.
So yeah,
that's cool. Well, cool. So that's a lot of setup, but I think that's all good stuff and all helpful as we dive into 39. So tell us a little bit about the scripture. Maybe just give us a quick summary of what happens in Genesis 39.
So we pick up where Joseph is, where he's, you know, in the house, where he is a slave in the house. And it goes through and it talks about that the Lord actually gave Joseph favor, in the house, and, his master gave him like full responsibility over his home. And so Joseph was like kind of the guy in the house and he was running things. And then his master's wife, ends up like day after day after day, like trying to tempt Joseph, to actually like sleep with him. And he just is rejecting. And then there's one day where she comes and tries to like grab him, and she like grabs his cloak. In the middle of that, he just freaks out and he just runs away. Mm. Like he literally just like, we hear the word like flee from sexual temptation.
But like, and for real,
physically, he just fled the scene. And so then the master comes home and his wife says like, you know, your servant, like tried to come on me. And as he, you know, I grabbed his cloak and I screamed and he ran. And so she actually blames it on him. And then he sends Joseph, into prison, because of this story. And that's kind of a summary.
Again, just tough. Even though we see Joseph doing the right thing in this story, we just don't see things necessarily going right for him. Although we do see the piece of like, you know, the Lord is with him. And then even after that, the Lord's with him in prison.
Yeah.
But as you got, as you digged in, as you kind of dove deep on Genesis 39, what kind of rose to the surface? What got you fired up about this passage?
I think like the coolest thing is, I feel like as I look through scripture, there aren't a lot of times that we have stories of people like being successful in rejecting sexual temptation. Mm. Like, I feel like there's a lot of times, like if you look at the story of David, you know, like he falls and all, you know, all of like, just, I just feel like throughout scripture, we just see a lot of people failing in the midst of sexual temptation and giving in. But like, this is a story of Joseph and not like, you know, Jesus, not like God, like just a normal man who was able to do it. And to me, that was just encouraging to be like, we can do it and yeah. you can do it as well. Like, this is not something that, I don't know, because I feel like in our culture, it just is like, we almost get used to giving into sexual temptation. But it just is a reminder and encouragement that like Joseph did do it and we can do it as well.
I love that. Yeah, that there is hope and we can win the battle. It's not this unconquerable foe.
Yeah.
I think we don't see or even hear like those stories of victory over sexual temptation, especially like in college life and on the college campus. And so I think that's even like a challenge to like, we got to tell our stories like wherever we're at.
Yeah.
So one of the other things, and I wonder if you want to hit on this a little bit, that really stood out to me was like when it said that not only did Joseph like tell her no, but that he like wouldn't even refuse, he like even refused to be around her.
Yeah.
And I just, that really stuck out to me where I was like, man, that's such a good model of what it looks like to like flee sexual temptation.
Yeah.
Is like not try to toe the line, but like not even just like be in the presence of it.
Yeah. Cause I think like the question that you hear a lot is like, you know, what is too far? Mm. And it's like, if it's almost like if you're dealing with that, then you're really flirting with some dangerous boundaries. Yeah. You know, if you're having to figure out like, okay, I can do this, but I can't do this, then like that's like some of that is good, but I think we end up just starting to push stuff. But this, he just models a good story of us just being like, no, like I'm not even going to put myself in a situation where I could fail in this.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to do everything possible to avoid it, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I feel like as we think about like group discussion, I just feel like that's such an interesting way to tackle it, is like to pull out, okay, what does Joseph model here that I can apply to like my own fight against sexual temptation?
Yeah. I think like, yeah, I even was thinking about just even practical application and just even just talking to your group and being like, if you're sitting like in your house with your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you're sitting on the couch, like in the midst of struggling with it, like it'll be a lot easier to not fall into the temptation if you say, let's get up and go on a walk at a park. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is like, I even just think leaving the situation that you're in is such a practical way to like fight this, really, because it is a battle that is hard to fight.
Yeah.
But even just learning from that and saying like, you know, let's just like not continue to stay here and just hang out in our room by ourselves with the door closed, but let's like actually get up and leave and do something different and change the environment that we're in is super cool.
Yeah. That was the other thing that kind of stood out to me, is like Joseph doesn't do anything inherently wrong here, but like the moment where he does get like, you know, like this, you know, the lady like grabs him by his cloak and like he runs off. Like it does say that like he's alone and no one else is around.
Yeah.
I just thought that was even interesting. I was like, man, we really have to like, like, I don't know, when we're in isolation with this stuff, even that's like when, it can be like easiest to fall. And like Joseph doesn't fall, but I just thought that was an interesting note of like that isolation piece.
Yeah. And even like doing what's right when no one else is around.
Yeah.
And like, even, you know, even if no one finds out, still wanting to do what is right.
Yeah. I think one of the other trickier parts about Genesis 39 is like, we see, you know, this bad thing happened to Joseph, but we hear on the bookends that like the Lord is with him and like that he has like even the Lord's favor. And so I don't know, how do we, like how do we as groups even process that idea of like good things aren't happening, but like scripture still says that, you know, the Lord is with him.
Yeah. I think that was one of like the main things that I think I wrestled with, like just in the passage. I was like, what does this even mean? And even like in the context of our culture, that this is not saying like, oh, when God is with you, then God blesses you.
Yeah.
You know, like that, even that is not like the case. God isn't just a God that's like, oh, when you follow Jesus, he just gives you amazing gifts and you get really rich and life is super perfect. Mm-hmm. Because it's funny, because it's like, you can kind of read that and see that in the story of Joseph. It's like, okay, the Lord was with Joseph and so he blessed him. But he also, Joseph, like the Lord was with him when Joseph got kidnapped by his brothers and sent into slavery. The Lord was with Joseph when Joseph got sent to prison. Like, it's almost like a good example of both sides.
Yeah.
But something in my research that was really cool was that kind of when you read the passage, it seems like it's just all this happens in a week. It's, you know, Joseph is, you know, he's sold into slavery. He shows up and it says, and then it's like in one of the first few verses, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph and he got promoted to the head of the household. And it just first glance, it comes across like it's just quick. But in my research, it actually showed that Joseph was there for 13 years.
Yeah.
That like, this was like a long drawn out, like, Joseph being faithful and being a good worker day in and day out. And the master like seeing that and promoting him as time went on. It wasn't just like this immediate boom. Here you go, Joseph, you're in power.
Yeah. And I think that's even like, it's funny because Fred's, you know, final message of this Better Story series that we started off with right before Fall Retreat, like hits on this idea of like, you know, college is supposed to be the best time of your life. But also like there can be seasons even within that, where we have to go through challenging things. And so yeah. I think that's like, I don't know, we don't even process that we can still have to walk through difficult seasons. Cause like, I think the idea of college is like, this is going to be the best time of your life.
Yeah. And yeah. And I totally agree. And like Joseph could have thrown a pity party that he was like, why did I get thrown into slavery? You know, why am I don't like my brothers did this to me. But I just think it shows that like even Joseph's like faithful obedience to just be like, I don't know, I even just feel like the I feel like you hear the phrase like choose joy. And I feel like this is all, like, and this is just kind of an introspection. This isn't in the passage, you know, but it almost seems like Joseph had to like consciously be aware to like choose not to just pout in his situation, but to like make the most of it and like be faithful to God, even if that means like being like working hard in this slave's, you know, as being a servant. I just think even the cool testament of like faithful obedience to the Lord, even in the midst of hard circumstances.
Yeah. Man, I would even say that we do in some ways see that in the passage, because like his response to Potiphar's wife is like, you know, my master has entrusted me with everything, you know, except for you. And so it's like, you know, he's very conscious of like, even though he's in a really tough spot, even though he's been sent into slavery, that like the Lord's favor is with him and that like there are good things happening. And so I think that's even a good model for like, I don't know, just even having gratitude or difficult seasons and being able to name like even the small things where like the Lord has met us and like those little things that remind us like, yeah, like the Lord is with me in this time.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're wanting to hit on really over the course of this whole series, talking about the idea of faith, is like how each of these stories connects back to the story of Jesus. So how do we see that in the story of Joseph?
Yeah, I think like I've even heard this by different people that it says like Joseph is like the story of the gospel through the lens of Genesis. And that it's like, as I was doing, even looking into this, I was like, there are so many parallels to be drawn between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. I even wrote this in the Leader Guide, but it even just is cool to even, it's like Joseph was accused of crimes he didn't commit, which led to punishments that he didn't deserve. He was stripped of his robe and sold for pieces of silver. He embraced God's purpose, even though it would bring him severe physical harm. They both, and these are all parallels to the same thing that happened to Jesus. Joseph rejected temptation and was victorious through suffering. And even like we see at the end of the story that like the Lord was with Joseph, even in the midst of prison. And he even got like promoted to be at the right hand of Pharaoh. And Joseph, like there was a famine in the land and like through, Joseph's power, he was able to like provide food and resources to his brothers. Even just like the imagery of that at the end, they were both promoted to like to the right hand of Joseph with Pharaoh, and then like Jesus as the father. So it just is crazy, even from like beginning to end of the similarities of the stories between Joseph and Jesus.
That's awesome. Yeah. And there's even the like recurring theme of just like faithfulness through like a hard circumstance and like faith not being dependent on circumstance. So we don't even just have the story of Joseph to lean on. I was like, oh, Joseph did it. Like, you know, Joseph was able to, you know, remain with the Lord even in a prolonged, difficult season. But like Jesus did that too.
Yeah. And I think like, I even just love the idea of it's like they embraced God's purpose, even though it would bring him severe physical harm. Mm. You know, that like Joseph like embraced God's purpose, even though he knew that rejecting that sin would probably lead him into punishment, you know, or even like thinking of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was like, God, I know that your purpose is greater than mine. So I'm going to, you know, even though this is going to be hard and we see him wrestling with it, you know, but like, I know that your purpose and your goals are bigger than mine. And I just think that was such a cool picture to even of like faithfulness mm-hmm. and faith to be like, you know, your will and your goodness is like above my, some of my like needs of feeling to be safe or is just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like there's so many good, like, I don't know, like takeaways towards the idea of faith, right? That we're talking about this whole semester.
Yeah.
What would you say is like maybe the one just kind of, I don't know, how does the story of Joseph inform this kind of semester long idea of faith?
I think we've hit it a little bit, but I think I've heard this quote and it says like, sin always overpromises and underdelivers.
I like that.
And I think like Joseph saw, like, I think Joseph like knew that, you know, he knew that like, even in the midst of this, like this midst of temptation and in of Potiphar's wife, that it, you know, we kind of see that this like one altercation between Joseph and Potiphar or Potiphar's wife. But it kind of points later in the story that it was like a day in, day out of, the wife trying to tempt Joseph. So even just like thinking, grasping the idea of that, like God is better than what the world offers.
Yeah.
I think like takes a lot of faith because the world is very tempting. Like, I think like sin always, just to say it again, like sin always over promises, but under delivers. So being able to like have the faith to see through the, like the promises or the temptation or like the intriguingness of sin and saying like, you know, I'm going to reject that because I know that God has something better for me.
Yeah.
And not even knowing what the better for me on the other side is. But just in the midst of that, not being like wrapped up in the midst of sin. But seeing through the other side and thinking like actually knowing that God is what God offers is better than what the world offers.
Yeah. I think that's even a good model of like how to walk through those difficult seasons of like knowing like, and being conscious of like the ways the Lord has delivered before and knowing that he will, I think makes it a lot easier to, you know, say no and say like, you know, I know that sin's not going to deliver in the same way that I know God will, but that takes like a day by day, like real, you know, relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So cool. I think we already kind of hit on this a little bit, but maybe just to hit it again, what would you say, would maybe be a practical application or takeaway, from this week of curriculum?
I think one, I even said it a little, like you said a little earlier, but like literally physically fleeing from sexual temptation and also just temptation. I think it just has never even really hit me. It just is a cool idea to just even see Joseph being like, I'm not even going to be around. Like, I'm just going to get up and leave. So just as an encouragement to you guys, like if you are alone with your significant other or just in the midst of temptation, and encourage your guys' group members. Like, I think even just like reminding the guys and girls in your group that like you can say no to temptation, you know, but sometimes it takes like physically fleeing from, it sounds weird, but like if you're sitting in your room with your significant other with the door closed late at night, like maybe just get up and leave.
Yeah. Like there are practical steps that you can take to like make it easier for you to say no to temptation in the moment.
Yeah. And I think the other one is just we hit this a bunch, but just like accountability.
Yeah.
And just bring it into the light. And just whatever that looks like in your guys' group. But I just really encourage you guys to have a form of accountability, to just kind of sharpen each other and call each other higher.
Yeah, I feel like that's just been a recurring theme over and over and over again on these podcasts, is just keep leaning into community, keep leaning into groups. Mike, thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
we hope you all have a really solid discussion post-fall retreat on Genesis 39. So yeah, have a great group, and we will catch you next week.